us all stand and just worship him this evening.
Wonderful,
more than wonderful,
isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he? Lord, you are.
Let's just sing it one more time. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, feeling your presence, but more importantly, knowing you're here. Lord, you're so wonderful, Lord. We knew that before we felt your presence. Lord, we know it now, we'll know it. Lord, even when we don't feel your presence, you're more than wonderful. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like our God. That's why we're here tonight, Lord, is, Lord, we want to come up higher, Lord, into all that you are to be through us, Lord. Well, Lord, just take full control and authority, Lord, of us, Lord, and through us for the glory of God. And, Lord, over every circumstance, over every spirit, Lord, and to have your way, Lord, and to be glorified, Lord, to have your kingdom come, Lord, to us, in us, realized, Lord, with our eyes of understanding open, Lord, and our just that wonderful taste and see that the Lord is good tonight. We thank you, Father, and we're thrilled that you're here, Lord, and we're thrilled to know what you have for us tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, now. And we commit this service into your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, greetings to you all from the family back home, and it's good to be here. God bless you all. While you're standing, we're just going to go right to the scripture and start feasting on the word. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. This won't be hard to understand tonight. I'm not going to say familiar because that's when we turn off our brains, at least I do sometimes, saying, oh, we know that, but we want to know it more. We want to walk in the Word until it's a well-worn path that others can see. And Matthew 25, and we're going to go down to the 14th verse, and would you hold your hand there, and I'm just going to turn directions. Let's go to Romans 14 first, and we'll just open up with that. Romans 4, verse 17. Now, we always know 17 is a number for, like, a new change, a new beginning, a new part of a ministry. There's so many things with that number. We see Jesus in the garden. It was that struggle that was happening. And so we know this is talking about Abraham and Romans 4. I apologize for the dawn. And we'll back up to 16. Because this is part two of Brother Jesse's sermon from last Wednesday night. I'm grabbing onto his coattails of anointing mantle. Because the law, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Praise God. It's not our work. No sweat. Right? To the end, what? The promise. The promise might be sure to all the seed. Praise God. Not that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. And we're going to read that last part all together. And calleth those things which be as not as though they were. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. And again, greetings from my family. And thank you, musicians, also for the wonderful worship. Oh, I wish I could be two places at once. But we were actually in one place, all in heavenly places. Amen. So just want to take a thought tonight of, as we just read in verse 17, calling things that be as not as though they were. And there's something so wonderful in this that I was just hearing from the Lord is, imagine I walked out of this room into another dimension and I brought something back for each one of you. Now imagine that didn't happen and instead I said, there's another dimension and there's things in it you've never seen before, but I can't bring you anything. Would you believe me? As much as if, yes, you would, thankfully you'd trust me, but some of you might say, oh, Stephen, you're always talking about strange things. But if I went in there and brought something back for you, a little taste of it, a potential of what it was, you'd say, I know it's real. There's been someone that I know that's been there and back, right? Just like going into the promised land, they brought back the potential. There was something seen, right? And we know that speaking things is that are non-existent. And you could say, well, every promise of God is existent, but it's not right here in front of us tangibly right now, right? Every promise isn't necessarily tangible in existence. It has to be. There has to be a process to make that happen. Would you agree? And we know that God has a provided way. And so that, but he does things for us, praise God, as we read, that it is of faith that it might be by grace. So he did so many things to us, praise the Lord, for it in that unmerited favor he gave us, for us to look to the unseen existence and then bring it back for us so that we can do the same and speak it into our existence, right? Are you with me? So we see this. There's a film you've probably seen, Faith Like Potatoes. Some of you have seen it. And it was the farmer, Brother Greg. What's his name? Oh, I knew you'd know. It'll come to you. But this wonderful story, Angus is his name. His first name. The Lord ended up using him in an amazing way in South Africa. But he decided to plant potatoes in a famine when everyone was looking only to reality. They were just saying, hey, in one sense, it is what it is. What businessman would take potatoes, all his potatoes that he had left as seed potatoes, and instead of eating them or selling what he had left, plant them in a soil that there would be no multiplication of those seed potatoes, right? But we think about this is we live in an age where everybody says, oh, well, you can't make enough money because of how bad the economy is. It's we're in a famine right now in so many ways, right? It's a dry land, a dry and thirsty land. And it's interesting, confession time, the devil started sitting on my shoulder this evening. And because usually I'll go to the cities and tune pianos. And so I'm number crunching and thinking, okay, what is the cost benefit of coming all the way down to the cities and this and that? And okay, so that equals, okay, 2 hours of prep, 2 hours of this. Okay, that's about this much an hour. And all of a sudden I'm driving down and I'm thinking of that about ministering tonight. And I was thinking, oh, like the economy and this and that. Wait a minute. This has nothing to do with that. What am I even thinking? But it's amazing how this mindset of I could get in the wrong frame of mind and look at the reality of the world's famine and say, Brother Don, I can't afford to preach. Right? I can't even afford, you know, I have to pull up and I got to find a, you know, somewhere else that I can plant potatoes, going back to the analogy, right? But we know that this man Angus said, you know what? We have a different reality, just like me going into that and pulling that out of that. We've seen that is we have a different reality that we can step into and we can ask God to bring that those promises into this reality and give us what we need and actually call it something different. Because, of course, the other farmers are saying, this is desolate, this is this, this is that, and just what a horrible year. What a horrible year for farming. And Angus didn't call it that. And I think that just to encourage you tonight, as the scripture says, don't weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Because, again, just like that empty, dry field, the kingdom of God comes without observation. It's non-existent in these five senses, as we've been hearing so wonderfully lately, to keep us with our gospel glasses on, keep us looking through faith, and keep our mind focused on pulling down, as Brother Branham said, from God's dispensary, or his carnal, as he said, through the ladder of prayer, and pulling down for what we need into this reality. And we see this so many times portrayed through Scripture, but it's our perspective, it's our vision, as we've been hearing, to take this. We can take the promises of God and say, every promise in the book is mine. I don't know where they are, but hopefully they'll come one day. I know 25 years for Abraham, so, well, you know, and we just get discouraged, right? But to think that it will come in its season. It'll come in the right when we need it. So what a blessing for that. And the thing is, we're looking in a different way. As we'll see, we're gonna talk about two different servants as well and the perspective of those servants of how that we can be two types of Christians. There is, we're both doing the same thing, but we have a different perspective. So we'll get to that. And I know that your hand is still in Matthew 25. So we're going to go back to there. Is this making any sense at all this evening? Kingdom eyes. That's right. All right, and we're going to go down to verse 14. How many knows this story? Does anybody know the story of the parable of the talents? Uh-huh. Oh, two. I see three. Okay, so it says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to the other 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents, and likewise he that received the 2, he also gained 2. But he that received 1 digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And I'm going to give you an option. We can read through it and stop and understand it, or we can read through it all the way through and go back over it again. Which would you prefer? That's right. May the Lord lead. So we're just going to get an overall picture. But how many of these people do not know this story? Anyone that doesn't know it. So then we're just going to stop for a minute because we know that big overview, They were given talents to multiply their talents. So they were given a potential. We'll just say this is that seed money. Now they're given them that seed money. And they two multiplied it, and one said, it is what it is. I'm not going to give them any more or any less. And it's interesting because two servants had a different perspective on their master, right? I was thinking about this. I was actually talking to Josh about this out there. Is that, and Humley's thankful for Josh being hall monitor out there. That's a wonderful sacrifice to do. So God bless him for that. Is that there's two workers and one. And then there's the other one that has a bad attitude. And we'll see, and it's really important to see this, is when they receive their reward or their judgment, he calls out what it actually is. And we want to say, I'm not that other guy. I want to have what these other ones had, right? So we see that, what did he first do? The first thing he did, he called his servants. And how many are called this evening? By the master. Amen. And he delivered his goods. I think about this, like, we have the goods, saints of God. Be encouraged tonight. We have the goods. It's not, I don't believe that he said, here's a talent. Now, None of anything that I have is at your disposal. You can't use my office. You can't use my contact list. You just have to do this on your own. You have to start from scratch. Is that everything that is his goods was at their disposal. Josh and I were talking about this. So wonderful. Because, you know, as us, you know, if I was at Brother Don's house and he says, you know, you're preaching tonight, you can use my office. And if you... you know, you need a glass of water, I'll give you. And you do everything you could to set me up to multiply and to make alive the word of God, to be in the right presence of the Lord, right? And so I believe the same thing for this, is that we have his goods. And it's interesting because he says he gave unto man according to his several ability. So he did, you could say, well, he was partial. He's like, hey, this is my favorite. This is not my favorite. No, it wasn't that. It was saying, hey, I can see your abilities, and I'm going to give you to what you can handle. And what's so wonderful is the response. I mean, to think that if we were given something by someone, we could have two reactions. We could have one of this other servant, and he says, oh, man, more to do. And, oh, he's going on a trip. Good for him. I got to be stuck back here trying to make him money. You know what? Skip it. I'm just going to keep it for him in the dirt, right? Or to be able to say, wow, he thought that much of me that he put me in charge of. So he trusted that I could be in charge with a whole talent of money. I'm so honored. What could I do? What could I do with this? And I was thinking about this. This inspiration struck me, Sister Mary, is, you know, especially the way your mind works is you would sit down and start writing out down ideas and things and number crunching. Okay, what is the, and you start looking up how to make money of this and that. Okay, the increase of this, and if I made candles and whatever it was, and just, okay, now all the costs and now the benefit. Oh, this, I got it. And maybe you would, and you had for years is consulting with that other servant that had that right attitude too, and say, hey, can we get together for coffee and we'll just keep talking about this? Like, how is your business growing? This and that. And just really, and it was just a wonderful exercise and process of something small, a small training exercise. And I can't believe he trusted us. This is so wonderful. And it's how we look at what God has given us, right? God gives us responsibility. And we're like, oh, just a poor wayfaring stranger. You know, like in Fiddler on the Roof, you've chosen us, but couldn't you for once choose somebody else? Because why? Not us. We don't want to be your chosen people because we have to go through that hard process. But you think about this. What is the spirit that we're supposed to be having when work is given to us? That scripture that says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That, you know, that word, the spirit means, the word willing means ready with eagerness, ready with eagerness. And all you young people, you'll understand this when you have your kids get old enough to get jobs, and you'll see they'll get like, sure, mom, sure, dad, or, oh, mom, do I have to? Right? It's one is whatever mom says to do, I'll do it. And we all have trouble keeping that mentality. I remember tuning pianos after work, and I just had this thought come over me. Oh, that's right. You got a second job. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be a long piano tuning. It's going to hurt your back. You might even have strings break. Just this. And what is it? It's Satan taking what God's given us and speaking something and calling it what it's not. And I was thinking, I love piano tuning. I remember praying, 6 years ago at church and saying, Lord, do you want me to go back to school? And I heard him say, Lord, Stephen, if you trust me, I have something better for you. And the Lord put this in my lap. This is the better he has for me. I love this. I love piano tuning. And I called it what it was rather than letting Satan relabel it for me. You see where I'm coming from? Is that you think about in the process of those two good servants is they were gung-ho, but maybe they had some setbacks. Maybe the first lemonade stand they had was just completely failed, and they had to go back to start at square one. But they just kept persevering and didn't weary in well-doing because they knew that in due season they would reap a harvest more than what they first had. We're gonna dive into this a little bit. So we're looking into the unseen again, to his reality. We're pulling into this existence things that don't exist, but he says they exist. That's why we have the Word of God. It's this, it's how the scripture says, eye has not seen, nor ear is not heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things that God has in store for him. And when I was little, I thought that was about heaven. But it's not, because we have the scripture that is the things that we've never seen, the things that we've never even heard of happening are happening right now and are going to happen before we reach the other side. Do you believe it? And that's why we actually need his word to call it into existence, to say, this promise is for me. I call it, because remember how Brother Brown said, faith finds her resting place in Google, Wikipedia, Snopes, Drudge Report, in the word. Right? That's our reality. So when we need to insert, and can you imagine if we could just create realities right now, and we had a horrible circumstance, and we said, I need to copy and paste a reality into this reality real quick. Okay, so, the worldly people would be like, okay, let's go live on some movie world of Avatar or something. Let's put that in our reality. That's great. Oh, good, now I'm in this tropical place. No, but when we copy and paste God's promise into our reality, it's perfect. It's exactly what we need. And that's speaking things that be as not as though they were, calling it into our reality. And don't despise the day of small things. When we give that small job, it's so easy to despise it. And to think that the end, can we go to the end? Would that be good? Just to understand where we're going? We're gonna go. So it says in verse 19, Matthew 25:19. After a long time, what? But this is a short story. It was like 5 minutes later he came back, right, Avery? It was a really short story. So he just went around the block, right? No, it was a long time. Everybody say long time. The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. How many loves to wait? Like we've been hearing. No, we don't want to wait. We buy plants at the store. We don't buy seeds. And so he that had received talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, you gave me these five, and I have gained five more. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. We knew that was going to happen. Did anybody think that wasn't going to happen? No, we all knew that story. But that servant was like, okay, cool. That was a fun exercise. Now I'm going to go back to like my servant's closet and just let me know when you need me for something else. I'll be sweeping the floor or scrubbing the bathrooms. And he's like, no, actually, I'm going to get you a suit and you're going to be a ruler over a city. Can you imagine just the elation, the thinking, what? You're going to give me those, you're going to give me it back? I thought it was going to, and can you imagine the unjust servant would be like, oh no, I'm messed up now. he got the five and he's getting 10 total. Oh, he's probably just really squirming in his seat, right? And now he's saying, you're going to be a ruler? Oh my goodness. And of course, we know the same with the two talents. Lord, you gave me two talents. Behold, I gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering which thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew I don't reap where I don't sow, and I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest should have put it in the bank and got some interest. And I could just go get it out of the bank with a little interest, at least that. Just to do, say you just did something with it. If you made it. And I think, we all know this, where I'm going to go with this. God has all given us, we're nothing. We all agree that we have no ability of our own self. But yet God has given us, otherwise it wouldn't say freely received, right? And so for us to now freely give, and it'll be multiplied. Each one of us has something. And we say, instead of saying, here am I, Lord, we say, who am I? I can't do that. I can't. I can play an instrument at home, but not in church. I'm not one of those musicians. Or I can't sing, really. I can't really sing. Or I'm going to the things that I'm go through a lot. I'm not a songwriter. I can write some chicken scratch down. When I get to heaven, maybe after 1,000 years, I'll write a song, because I need a lot more time to develop. And rather than saying, maybe if I could take that talent they gave me and just make it 1% better, just multiply it by 1%, is what he was saying to this unjust servant. And so to be encouraged tonight, if you know you have something that God gave you, don't think about, well, who am I to use it? Say, here am I, freely give. Amen. I remember when I was asked to preach initially, the first time ever, I didn't preach for 2 years because I thought it would just be all about Stephen talking. And I didn't want to do that. I said, who am I? I don't want to get up there. And then I just kept hearing, freely receive, freely give, freely receive, freely give. And I love the Lord so much, I thought, I need to tell somebody. And I was seeing so many things in the scriptures, I just wanted to pass on. And the Lord kept speaking to me. And so, again, it's just saying, Lord, here am I. You gave me the goods. You gave me the talent, not earthly talent, right? But I just want to give back to what you gave for me. And then he takes that. He's the one that multiplies it, right? It's all him. It's all his grace. It's all what he gave us in his existence, his self-existing one, Elohim, and gave it to us to exist through us, to multiply. I'm going to go into a little, just the, again, that posture of each of their hearts. So he gave them according to their abilities means their inherent power, something residing by its nature, the effort which a person puts forth of the excellence of soul, a power inside. But you can see something was different in that wicked servant. And it's interesting because in this word wicked, it's really interesting. Because we all think of as wicked as in like, he just goes home and listens to heavy metal and he has beer parties all night. Like, no, it actually means he's full of labors, annoyances, hardships. He's pressed and harassed by labor. Have you worked with anybody that has that mindset of work? Oh, work again. And we feel harassed a lot of times by work, right? Ding, oh, there's work again. Ding, oh, that's right. Oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. Oh, man. And why? Because everybody at work has that disease. And it actually says, in a physical sense, it actually means diseased or blind. And then in an ethical sense, it's evil or wicked or bad. So you can see that we work with people that are wicked in this mindset of, oh yeah, I got to go to the 9 to 5, another day, another dollar. That's can be impressed upon our, about the Father's business. And try to be now, oh, that's right, I got to preach tonight. Brother Greg, is there any more blizzards? How's the weather down there in the Fridley area? Are you sure? What could I do to not go to church tonight? I'm not feeling quite 100%. We're always going to be harassed in our body. Just like Abraham, how it says in, let's go back to Romans 4. This is so good. Who loves Romans 4? That's such a good chapter. I'm seeing more things, Brother Don, in Romans 4. Oh, my goodness. And verse 19... talking about Abraham, and can we just read this one out loud? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't say, I'm Abraham and I identify with this old body. Right? I was thinking about this, like Brother Bram said about when he would shove those beans down and they would keep coming back up and they would say, how are you feeling? He says, I'm feeling great. And I was puzzled over that. And he talked about that. He's like, I wasn't identifying with my body. I was identifying with his promise. There you go. Amen. And that's saying, I identify with his reality. Can we say that? I identify with his reality, not this body. I remember one time me and Micah were talking about this and he says, yeah, you gotta ignore your body. That was so good. We need to ignore our body. We need to identify with his reality. And so every day, and we want to be realistic. We get all these phrases because we don't want to be like, I want to be plastic smiles and enthusiasm. Yeah, this is a great day. And we're not pulling from his strength. We're just pulling from nonsense, right? In that way, we're not saying this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the joy of the Lord, which is strength. Just fake, fuzzy, glittery enthusiasm is just going to peter out as soon as the first feeling changes, right? And so we know we have to speak things, but we have to pull the power from the right source. Otherwise, it's going to fizzle out right when we're trying to gain altitude. And you've heard people say this before, too, as well, that don't have what we have. Just think for a minute what treasure we have in these wonderful aging bodies. Is that I've asked people that I think are successful. I'm like, hey, how's your day going? And they go, well, it's early. We'll see what the day brings. And I'm like, oh, man, they literally are ruled by their reality. Their reality will change how good their day is or not. You know, and you can say this is turning into be a bad day, or I hate Mondays. Oh, man, I'm glad it's the middle of the week. Right? It's saying, I identify with this body and this day of the week, rather than saying, we're seated in heavenly places. There is no day of the week. Amen. Praise God. Every day is what? Every day is new. Exactly. And it's then we can grab his existence. If you see what I'm saying in the wrong way, you'll say, oh, Stephen is just so excited again. But if you see in the right way, you'll see he's seeing a glimpse of a reality that I can have and insert into my day from the Word of God. Amen. So we identify not with our body as Abraham did, but by faith, not considering our body. Praise God. So we're not going to be harassed by the hardships and by the labors and things to get our mindset off of things. And the next thing he called him was, it's interesting because he said, the wicked servant and slothful. So he said, you're just, first of all, just a wicked servant. And secondly, you're lazy. And it's interesting because it means sluggish, which we know what sluggish means, moving slow and not doing what we're supposed to do quickly. It means, irksome, grievous, slothful, to feel loathe. Oh, I hate this of all things. I hate work the most. But I have a choice because I'm a bond servant. I'm actually, this word servant means a bond servant. So he is owned by the master. And we can look at the same thing. We're, as Paul said, I'm a bond slave. He owns me. And we could say, I can't believe it. He owns me. He chose me, but I'm owned by him. And I have to do these things. Let me make a list of all the things I have to do for him. And at least in the end, I can say, like, look at the list of all the things I've done for you. So you better give me some kind of reward. Or we can say, look at what he gave for us, what he paid to purchase us. Through Christ. Praise God. If we could know what he did on the cross for us, if we could one day understand what he paid. Praise God. To think that, and it's the end of Romans 4. Now, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed for him for righteousness, Abraham, but for us also, to whom it was imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, that we never did in the first place, that when he calls us, to be a part of what he's doing, to be a part of his business. It's to say, hook me up. I want it. I want it. I want to be yoked into that. Wherever you want me, I want to be. That eagerness out of love for what he did for us and what he does for us, his love kindness every morning, his mercies new every morning when I failed yesterday and every day. And to say, Lord, I'll serve you. You gave your all for me. I'll give my all for you. I don't own myself. There was a man that he was 60 pounds overweight, and he said, "That's it. I'm firing myself, and I'm hiring a team of scientists. I'll pay them $2 million to make me healthy." And he says, "I don't have any choice anymore. I'm just going to let them do it, and to be healthy." And I think about this. I'm going to fire Stephen because he doesn't know how to work, how to live, how to have good ideas, how to function, how to have a good tuning business, how to be a good Costco employee. He's just a complainer, and I have to drag him around every day. I want to let the Lord come in and say, do this, and it'll be good for you. Hear and obey. Listen, it'll be for the best benefit for you. Just, we as parents say this about our children in private a lot of times. If they would just, all they have to do is listen and obey, and it'll be the best life as a child for them ever in the world. It'll be a little bit grievous sometimes. It'll be a little hard sometimes, but life will be so much easier as an adult, and they're going to be the best employee. They're going to be advanced so far up the ladder so fast because they're going to say, "I can do that. I did this in little when I was little. All the doesn't matter." But when we hire people at Costco, and I was a part of the hiring team to do interviews, there was about 1,600 people, and we'd ask hard questions. We'd say, "Are you willing to push carts?" And they'd be like, "Whoa. Okay, yeah, I suppose." And then we'd go on this and that, and they'd show us all their degrees or whatever, and then we'd say, "How about bathrooms? Would you clean bathrooms?" And they're like, "Yeah. I don't think I could do that." The people would actually say that. "No, I don't think I could do that." And they may not ever push carts or clean bathrooms, but we wanted to know how willing they were to do the hard things. Yes, Sister Mary, that ready eagerness is whatever you say to do. I know you're a good company. I know you have my best interest and the interest of the company. So, sure. And you'd see some people are like, they wouldn't even bat an eye. "Will you push carts?" "Yeah." And so we'd say, like, "How about for 2 weeks? That's not a problem. Clean bathrooms? Sure. I'm just working. I'm getting a paycheck. Who cares?" And they would just do that. It wasn't greed. It wasn't loathing. It wasn't burdensome. And I just think our Heavenly Father, Brother Don, is saying, "Oh, Stephen, if you could just stop saying, like, 'Oh, Lord, do I have to turn around and go help that person on the side of the road they put on my heart? I already passed the turn, and if you would have just reacted right away in readiness, you would have made the turn and not had to turn around.' It's just listen and obey, Stephen. It's easy. It's too easy. Just ignore our bodies. Don't identify with our body and our needs. We don't have a clock on the back of the wall. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Let's continue on and get this wrapped up. But we're heirs. And to think that those servants did so, they didn't know that little training exercise was going to launch them into a corner office, that they were going to be over many things. And can you imagine? I just realized this, is the slothful and wicked servant, his reward, the master's reward would not be very, he wouldn't like it anyways. I mean, I'm sure when they said, he said, "Well done, though, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a little. You'll be faithful over many things." He basically heard, you made me a little bit of money. I'm going to let you make me a lot of money. And I'm going to give you a lot more responsibility that you don't want to do. That's what he heard. He didn't want to do anything more because he was, again, annoyed by work. And he didn't care about it. So, and we know his reward was to be just cast out, an outcast. Romans 12:11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I think sometimes I've thought, like, "Lord, I don't know how to make my business any better. I need more tunings." Stephen, don't be slothful in business. Be fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. And you can say, "Well, that's only for the Lord's business." No, that's for everything that we put our hand to. Do it with all our might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So we see that there's those two servants, the unprofitable servant. looking just for self-benefit and the profitable, multiplying, good and faithful servant that sees that he's trusting not I have to take care of myself, is he's going to take care of me. And it's his interests. It's his will. He's going to take care of me. I just love that, just to think, even whenever I do freely give of saying, Lord, I'll just obey, I'll preach, it's just saying, Lord, I know you gave me something. Brother Josh was saying the same thing of just studying for Sunday school. Lord, I'm not confident in anything I can do or what I can bring. I'm just confident because you put something on my heart. And that's your will. And I know that you wouldn't, just like with that unjust servant, you wouldn't give him 100 talents because you knew what it was already in his heart. You wouldn't give little old me a message like this tonight and say, well, no one is going to hear you anyway. Because he believes in each one of you. He believes in all his promises in you and through you. That's why he's telling you this tonight. He believes in that potential in his word through you. Praise God. Praise God. It's got one quote. This is from who is this Melchizedek? But his anchor, speaking of Abraham, but his anchor held within the veil. What is behind the veil? It's the reality of where his presence is, where his reality is. I was just seeing that for the first time. It's that, again, like going in that different room and grabbing something out. We get in the presence with the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do through me today? For God gave him the promise and he rested upon it and called things which was not as though they were. Because knowing that God was able, is he able? Think about your circumstance. Think about that reality. He's able to bring his reality into that reality. Here it is. God was able to perform that which he had promised. Is he able to perform it for you? Much more than we could ever dream. Let's just have the musicians come, and we can sing. They can start playing that song. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me today. He made the world. He made me. He made everything. Everything by his word. Just think about that. His word is such a reality that everything you see is made by his word. Now speak the word into your reality. Insert that just like that faith like potatoes and watch it grow. It may take a process of time and just by patience, waiting eagerly, expectantly. He made the world. He made me. He made everything. He made you. He made all, everything by his word. And his word will do just what it says it'll do. Now, what hope. What hope we have. Assurance of the hope within the veil. And we know that veil is his presence, his reality, his perspective. You could say, well, that's great for you, Stephen. You're pretty excited about it, but I don't really feel like that's a reality for me. And I can just be like, okay, I'll read my Bible. Okay, faith to move mountains, here we go. Okay, I'm just going to speak it. But you don't have that assurance because there's the difference between believing and having faith. One is that, Lord, I'm open. I don't see it, but I believe. I'm just going to say, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm just open. But Brother Bram said, faith is when he drops it down in your heart and says it's just so. It's a knowing. And he said, no intellect, nothing can take that away from you. Is that it's knowing. There's no God like our God. We know. Everyone here knows there's no God like our God. We can take those simple things of faith now and put it on that specific promise for our circumstance and say, because I know, even for someone else, and that's what's so wonderful about testifying, is to say, if he can do it for Brother Jesse, I believe he can do it for me. Jesse went in and he brought back that reality, that existence of God in his situation. I accept that. Lord, I pull that into my reality. That feels good. That is good because I know that it's true because of his testimony or your testimony. We can have that. Noah, you can have that tonight. Each one of us, whatever it is, it's not just another day. It's not just, okay, good morning, Mom. That's going to be a good day, I think. It's saying, Lord, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do? You already have a plan. I just want to find out what that is so I can grab onto that. Each one of us can do that. It's not just for the preacher or not for the musicians or whoever it is. It's for each one of us. You could put us to shame by how much you grab more out of the reality of what God has for you than us old folks. That's what they did going into the promised land. It was the young folks. Oh, I just identify myself as an old folk, Sister Mary. I'm 40 this month. So I'm partly old. And so think about that. It was the young people that were going in and kicking those giants out of the land and having all of the Caleb and Joshuas that are here standing there cheering them on and saying, we're more than able to take it, and them just taking it because they saw beyond that old way of church thinking to grab what God has for them. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Do you see what he's doing? Do you see that it's going to happen tomorrow in your life when you just trust him and just go in there in his presence and pull it out for yourself for what he wants for you? You can do it right now. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's any unbelief in here, Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, how many times did the prophet say, if we could just get in the right mental attitude towards every promise of God, that there wouldn't be one feeble one among us in 5 minutes. There wouldn't be one thing, Lord, because we would see beyond every limiting belief, every blockage in the flu. Lord, just take that atomic blast of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just, it has to be you, Lord. We can't work ourselves into it, Lord. Just blast out those channels of our mind and our spirit, Lord. Lord, help us to pray for one another. Even how Brother Bram said, I picked up a critical spirit. You pray for me that the Lord delivers me of that, he said. Lord, deliver us from spirits, Lord, that would block us from grabbing your reality for us to be able to speak things into existence, Lord, that you've been wanting us to have. Lord, that you want us to have right now more than we want it, Lord. You just want it so bad. I just feel your heart so much. You want us to have, Lord, all these promises to walk in them, to make them into a reality, Lord, to look through those kingdom eyes as we've been hearing from your spirit, Lord, so many services, Lord. It's your will. It's your will to give us the kingdom, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done in us, Lord. Just sweep over us, Lord, and just take away all those blockages, Lord, that would say, we're as grasshoppers. Who are we? We're nothing. But to say, we are more than able. We're more. It's too easy with you, Lord, because you said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Lord. We just say yes to you tonight. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Just open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts to see, Lord, what you have for us right now, we pray. We just commit each one in your hands now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just all stand and sing, He is Able, and mean it in your heart. Believe it. Confess it. Confess it to your enemies. Confess it to the Lord. He is able. He is able. What concerns me today, more than able.
He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. Just pull down that faith. You are able, Lord. You are able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. You are able, more than able. You can handle anything, to handle anything that comes my way. Much more than I could ever dream. You are able, more than able, to make me what you want me to be. You just did it. You just told him he's able. You didn't listen to any other voice that gave a different report. You said, no matter what my mind tells me, what the greatest enemy tells me, he's able to do more than I could ever dream, more than ever I could confess. He is able to think that all that we're aware of that he can do, he can do more than that. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Could we just sing another song? Be it unto me in the key of D for our story.
Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand still.
Go up to F and sing blessings and honor.
Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom and strength. Oh, blessing and honor.
Trying to do tonight. Brother Branham said, when you need faith, You can adopt faith. He said you can praise the Lord and bring his praise into your situation, and faith will come down for you. So that's why we're worshiping the Lord, is we're bringing him down into our situation. We're saying, Lord, faith is a gift. I need that gift for my situation. I'm going to praise through this. I'm not just getting myself excited. I'm praising you in this circumstance. God wants to hear us sing. He wants to hear us sing in the darkness, in the waves, and all that's around us, all these imps and isms and dark clouds that are around us. He wants to hear us sing. So let's just worship him tonight. Let's just give him all of our love, kindness. There's that reservoir of our thankfulness inside of us just to show him and tell him how much he means to us. Could we just sing one more song tonight and just ask him to be with us? Let's sing that song. We are standing on holy ground in the key of C.
We are standing on holy ground.
No troubles can be here.
For there are, we know that there are angels. They're all around.
What can happen evil when there's angels all around?
So let us pray.
Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands. Let's just sing it without the music.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground.
The King of Kings is here.
And I know that there are angels all around.
Hallelujah.
So let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Could we just sing that one more time with the instruments? And let's sing again.
We are standing on holy ground.
The angels have taken their places. He's here tonight.
And I know that there are angels all around.
We won't take no for an answer.
Let us pray.
Place, can we bow our heads one more time? If there's anyone here that needs prayer tonight, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here to meet your need. Do not go away needy this evening. He invites each one of us, come unto me, all you are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest from the rat race. Rest from the news. Rest from your self-talk. Rest from all these things that surround us every day and harass us. Rest from the unknown. Rest from addiction. Things that pull at us and say, this is joy. This is the life. There's so many things that just enchant us and beguile us and anoint our spirit to say, this feels so good. This feels so wonderful. And it's separating us from heavenly places. It's separating us into outer darkness. He's saying, come tonight. Come all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you can walk out of this building tonight and say, all is well. All is well. I'm not fighting anymore. All is well. What a relief. I feel so light. I am so light because all is well. Jesus met me tonight. Jesus met my need tonight. I know. I don't just believe it. I know it because it happened to me tonight. As we bow our heads, whatever you need is here for you tonight. He knows your need. Surrender. Give up. One last good idea isn't worth it. God has something for you, and there's a battle going right on right now in the spirit and saying, not tonight. Brother Branham said it's an evil spirit that says not tonight. When he's calling you, when you can feel the pull of the Lord, he's calling you, answer. Who cares what your friends say when it's eternity with him or eternal separation from him? Let's just sing it one more time as we just invite anyone who needs prayer before we close.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels.
Oh, Lord, vindicate your word all around. Please, Father, vindicate your word tonight, oh God.
Oh, let us pray.
Greg, would you just close us in a word of prayer? Are all hearts clear tonight? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, I just want to thank you humbly, Lord, for meeting with us tonight. Truly, Lord, we have sensed your presence.
Yes, oh God.
Truly, Lord, we have heard your voice bidding us to open up and to receive freely.
Yes, oh God.
From you, Lord, all that you have for us. You're encouraging us to drop the things of this world and all its nonsense and looking straight to you, straight to the promise. Knowing, Lord, in your presence, like the Syrophoenician woman, all is well. Mm-hmm. All is well. In your presence, Lord, all is
yes,
well.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, you promised in your word that you said, lo, I'm with you always,
yes,
even
Lord.
To the end of the world.
Yes.
And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for using our brother tonight. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement that you've shown forth through him, Father. And I pray, Lord, that that encouragement, that further ground in our hearts, Lord, be gained for your glory and honor, Lord. May we honor you more, Lord, than we ever have, Father. Help us in everything, Lord, to not to grumble and complain, Father. Anything that you, by your mercy, your grace, your wisdom that you allow in our lives, Father, with thanksgiving, Lord, we embrace it, knowing that all things work to good, for the good.
Yes, Lord.
To those that love you and are called according to your purpose.
Yes, oh God.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you bless each and every one, Lord, as we go forth from here. Thank you for this gathering.
Yes, Lord God.
We don't take these things lightly. We don't take it for granted.
Yes, Lord.
And we humbly give you praise. Help us now, Father.
Yes,
Lord. And this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, each one. He loves you. I love you. He has wonderful things in store for each one of us tonight. He is able. God bless you. Stay.